People we are just empty, Lord, empty. Empty vessels before you today, Lord. Come and fill us afresh, come and make us anew, Lord. Just before we are, let us stay there, let us sit at Jesus' feet this morning. God is speaking to us individually this morning. I don't wanna rush this morning, but let us sit for a moment at Jesus' feet. Let's open up our ears to listen to you. Thank you, God, that we can sit at your feet. We can be hungry for your word. Fill us, Lord. Fill us with your word this morning. Fill us with the Spirit. Fill us with all of you all, Lord. Thank you that we can surrender our lives before you today. We put ourselves on the altar, Lord, today to say, here are we, Lord, as a living sacrifice, we give our lives to you today, Lord. Today we pick up our cross, Lord, and we follow after you wholeheartedly, Lord. As the rich man, Lord, we go and we sell all our possessions and everything we have, Lord. And as Paul says, it's at the end of his life, Lord, I count it all lost for the sake of knowing you today, Lord. May we not boast in ourselves, but may we only boast in the name of Jesus Christ. And may we always be seated at Father, at the feet of Jesus. We love you, God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us all take our seats this morning. Before you fly to my slide, hopefully, I'm going to tell you where to do it. I just want to share something before I go on. Thanks, Sam. Ja, church. Hey, family. So nice to be with you. Just an FYI. So this is going to be my last Sunday for a little while. That I'll be sharing, standing in front, sharing the word with you. As you know, our beautiful wife is somewhere down there. She's 4 weeks pregnant. We're expecting little Bethany today. But she's still so comfortable. So y'all excited for little Bethany to arrive. We'll keep you posted, we'll keep you updated. But I'll be taking a little bit of a break because God called me first to look after my family. Not that I don't love you, I just started off my family more. Because God called me to be here because I could look after my family. And they need to know that. So we're just going to take a little bit of a break. We will be attending church. Don't worry, we won't be attending another church, but we will be probably sitting in the back row with a newborn and a toddler causing chaos in church. And yeah, talent and the team will be leading for the next 3 months at least. I'll be preaching once or twice in that 3 months, but not often. And also, if you have any other needs or any prayer requests, please reach out to talent and one of the teams. One of the elders, and also if you have any counseling, please start with VHUP, or any needs like that, please write them. struggle on your own. Greta can make an appointment with one of the team for you. That's exciting. So, yeah, we're trusting Bethany is going to come soon. She did it today, so we're really trusting that God's going to just, work his magic. She needs to turn, she's still learning the other way around, so we're really trusting and pray with us that she turns. Our wife really don't want a C-section. Those who know her, those who previous journey, the previous, I was Malachi. And sure, I'll be trusting God for Duffy as well, and be excited for what he has planned. So we've been going through a little bit of a series. I don't know if you picked it up, but we started the year off where God said to us, hey, give me a blank page. Leave this preconceived ideas that you have, lay them down at the feet of Jesus. You know, I shared a story about John the Baptist, pointing out to Jesus and saying, hey, Jesus, are you the one, or should there be another one? Because we don't see things happening the way we thought it would happen. The way we thought it would play out, the way we thought we will see miracles and stuff, and we will see you take the government back from the Roman Empire, all of this stuff. And we know that in that response, Jesus responds beautifully to John, and he says to him, first he says to the crowd, and he says, blessed is the one who is not offended by me, meaning, blessed is the one who's not offended if I don't do the things that they think that I should do it. Eh? Because we all have an idea of how we think Jesus should do stuff for us. Myself being challenged that here with this as well. The things that you thought would play out the way that you wanted, Jesus is a different thing. That's why Jesus uses the word to say, blessed is the one who's not offended. And then challenge shared a bit about the posture. How in your heart, how you come to God, is a place of being moral. We shared a bit about Paul and about Ephesians. And that was really also special in connecting with God. How do you connect with God? Do you connect with God in a sense where your posture is like, I'm prideful, God, I deserve this? Like, you know, the two men who went out to pray, and the one said, God, I'm a sinner, have mercy on me. And he didn't even look up in the sky while he was praying, but the Pharisee came in and says, God bless me, for I'm not like the person standing next to me. And the posture there was that the Pharisee thought that it was better than the person that was praying next to him. Because according to them, they knew everything. And because they knew everything, they thought everyone else was in a lower level to them. And that's what happened, why they didn't recognize the Messiah. When the Messiah was standing in front of them, because when Jesus was in front of them, what happened was that they didn't recognize him, because he came in a different form and he did stuff differently to what they thought it should be like. And then Sham shared a bit about the paradox of surrender. How do you surrender? Why is it important to surrender? He spoke about the heart as well. He touched on one of the promises that God's given us, that we hold on so to this promise, that the promise becomes an idol. If God said, I'm going to marry this thing, and that doesn't work out, and it doesn't seem the way that I want it to do, and everything is just so difficult, but you're holding on to this promise, and you're saying, God, but you promised. Sham shared about that, and then he uses the example of Isaac. Abraham becoming an idol in Isaac's life. Your one and only son, Isaac. But we know that God also gave his one and only son for us. So then Sam uses the analogy that said, God will never expect us to do something that he's not willing to do himself. Amen? And then we went on and he shared a bit about being poor in spirit and what does it mean to be poor in spirit and how does it work when you read in Google, when you Google poor in spirit, it says that you are utterly and you are dependent on something or someone. Being poor in spirit in the Bible, when Jesus shares with us in the Beatitudes, he says to us, being poor in spirit, the poor in spirit will inherit the kingdom of God. Being poor in spirit is knowing that I need God more than I need anything in this world. More than I need anything else in this world, I need God. And therefore I repent to him daily that I need him to come and fill my life anew every single day. And that's when he ended the sermon off. And this morning I'm going to touch a bit, so you can find that first slide. I wanted to use the words perfectionism, but perfectionism sounds a little bit better. I know on social media we say perfection, and then it didn't make any sense, but we left it there. Versus surrender. So when you look at the two pictures, right? Which one do you relate to this morning? In your current life and where you find yourself, which one do you relate to this morning? Are you the lady on top trying to sort out your hair, trying to look good, trying to manage everything? Your children, your husband, all their needs, everyone else's needs around you. You're constantly aware of everyone else's needs. That is the life of a mother, eh? They can't switch it off. They can't switch it off because they are aware of everyone else's needs, and that's why we have beautiful mothers in our church. I'm not criticizing that, I'm actually giving a compliment. But sometimes it becomes such a thing that it determines your identity and ultimately determines your outlook on how you do life and how you approach life. How you look at things, everything becomes a work, everything else is a work for you. There's no more joy found in anything that you're doing because you feel overwhelmed by everything you have to manage. And the surrender part is the other lady at the bottom, fully in surrender to God. Yes, she has the same troubles, the same character, the same duties that the other lady on top has, but she understands that if I drop something, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. The world is not going to end tomorrow if I drop the green paper on the floor. The world's not going to end tomorrow if I go out not having my hair straight or ready. The world's not going to end tomorrow if my son eats bread tonight before he goes to bed. The world's not going to end tomorrow if someone walks into my house right now and my house is a mess. Because the ultimate responsibility that we place on ourselves, that we have to have everything together, everything needs to be in its place, is a lie. It's a lie, and it's the enemy using it for us. Because it becomes a work, and works forms your identity, ultimately your worldview, and ultimately the view of God that you have. Because you think you must sort out your whole life. I must sort out my clothes, the way I look and everything. I must first sort it out, then I get down to Jesus. That's how I grew up, knowing that I need to sort out everything. But God says, come as you are. Come as you are to me. I will do the work for you. You don't have to sort out your life first before you come to me. And that's the beauty. That is the beauty of walking a life fully surrendered to Jesus. So this brings me this morning to the word in the Bible, a good story about Luke. So I've been meditating on the book of Luke for a little while now. As you see, all my sermons now start in the book of Luke. But God is speaking to me on a new level in the book of Luke. It's such a book of death, death. I can't even get close to word pronouncing, but it has detail. When you look at it, they are detailed. They are the trust. So when you look at the book of Luke and you're realizing why is Luke writing different stories about people he has spoken to about the life of Jesus and also Jesus, how Jesus operated, the time that Jesus spent on earth. So we read the story about the Good Samaritan. And it's a well-known story, and it's just before the story that I'll be sharing about today, which is the story about Mary and Martha. But did you know, if we only had the Good Samaritan story, our lives would have been serving. Because when we listen to the Good Samaritan story, the Samaritan was the one who picked up the person, put him on his donkey, and taken care of him. Which is what we should do. The lawyer asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, you shall love your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that is the way of loving your neighbor, by taking care of your neighbor when your neighbor needs something. But our lives is not just to serve. Amen? We serve out of a place of sonship, not of a place of a slave. We serve out of a place of knowing who I am first. When you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus, before he started his ministry, God spoke his identity over him. Before he was led into the wilderness, after his baptism, God spoke and said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. And then his ministry started. So when Jesus' ministry started, it started out of a place of knowing how to serve. And here you have these two sisters, and Luke is trying to tell us something, because Luke is the only one who's actually mentioning mostly Martha and Mary. John also mentioned them a bit later, and we'll touch on that. But Luke is mentioning these two sisters because they both were spending time with Jesus. Because Bethany was one of the places where Jesus went to spend lots of time, because his friend Lazarus was there. And he spent, I think it was like a safe space, if you want to call it something. I think it was a place where he felt relaxed. I think it was a place where he felt safe, knowing that these people are actually looking out for me. They did not yearn for what I can give them, but they're actually looking out for me. So let's read what Luke says in Luke 38 to 42. So remember, one of the biggest things is that Luke, time is a very important thing. The way he puts the book, there's a timeline, it's a day, it's time, it's very important. Now, as he went on his way, Jesus entered the village. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Jesus responds to that, says, Luke's the writing, and he says, but the Lord answered her and says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Listen to this. Mary chosen a good portion which will not be taken from her. When you read the Old Testament, when you read the Psalms, when you read Psalm 16 verse 5, the next slide please. David writes and he says, the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. So when you look at what Luke trying to show us here, is the teaching and the moment that Jesus is bringing across to Martha. He's saying to Martha, 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 don't be anxious. Throughout the Bible, throughout the whole of the Old Testament, when we look at the Levites as well, in Joshua 18 verse 17, it says that the Lord was the portion for the Levites. Because they didn't have any land, anything. They were like the working for the church in the modern time. And that's why the Lord was the portion. It says, the Levites have no portion among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. So God's trying to teach Martha here, Mary has chosen the good portion. Who's the portion? He is. He said, I am the good portion. I am the good portion that David is referring to. I am the portion that Joshua is referring to. Throughout the book of Psalms, we read about the portion. God is our portion. Psalm 27 verse 4, it also speaks about the portion. The Lord is the light of our salvation. Let me read it to you. song that we quote so lovely. It says, "One thing that I ask of the Lord, that I will seek and dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life."
Yeah.
To gaze upon the beauty and to inquire in His temple.
Amen.
So Jesus is taking Mary to a good place. He's saying, "Mary has chosen good, do not withhold this from her."
Yes.
David and everyone else before her spoke about the portion. The portion is here. I am that portion that the world are waiting for. I am that portion, the good portion that will bring fulfillment to your soul. I'm the portion that will bring fulfillment to your needs and everything else that you need. So I want to take us to wise Luke writing that. So the one aspect is the portion, Jesus being the good portion. For Mary has chosen the good portion. Do not take it away from her. Martha, Martha, don't be anxious. For Mary has chosen the necessary, the one thing necessary. So when you look at that, and you read a book about it, and you listen to a few commentaries, it speaks a lot about the portion, and it speaks about the one thing necessary. In life, what is the one thing necessary that we can't go out with? And the Bible says it, we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The portion.
Yeah.
As He speaks to us, we are filled. And as we listen, we are satisfied.
Come on.
But if we don't, and we are anxious and cleaning our house, our temples, and everything around us, and we don't sit at the feet of Jesus, we miss the portion. And then once we miss the portion, we miss the satisfaction that the portion brings. Being satisfied with the Word of God alone in our hearts. Being filled with the Word of God in our hearts. Being filled with the words of Jesus in our lives. And then I'm going to take it another step, and I'm going to put two characters out for us. So I'm going to put Martha on the one side, and I'm going to put Mary, and I'm going to show you how the Bible wants us to understand why this story or this scenario that's happening, because this is not a parable. Okay? There are many times Jesus went in people's houses, but they're not all important, because God inspires each and every scripture for teaching and rebuke. Paul tells us to in the book of Timothy. But why is this specific part there? Because the portion is the one part of it, where God's reminding us about the portion that He is. I am that portion, the good portion. And another part is that God's telling us about two characters who were spending time with Him, and they both had different interpretations about what He was teaching them. The one went into the works aspect, being wanting to sort out everything, and the other one just wanted to sit at Jesus' feet. So in the book of John 11, John writes, the beloved writes to us about a friend of Jesus named Lazarus. We know the story of Lazarus is that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. But before He raised Lazarus from the dead, there is something that I want us to capture today. And I think this is one part of the teaching moment that Jesus wanted these two sisters to take away today. So now Jesus is in a different, he's in a different town, different village. He gets the news and he says, "Hey, my friend Lazarus is sick." And the expectation is that Jesus should get up immediately and go. That was the expectation, the preconceived idea that someone had about Him. But Jesus said, "No, I have to do the work that I came to do here first." He's not arrogant. Don't think Jesus is arrogant right here. He is just using a teachable moment to teach us that He is in control. That He has life and death in His hands. But what He's doing here with these two sisters is that John is portraying to us these two sisters who have been spending time with Jesus and been sitting, listening to his word, both of them heard Jesus talk and teach, but the interpretation in both of them were different. And now Martha heard that Jesus is coming and he's on his way to Bethany. And she goes out of the town, outside of Bethany, and she goes to meet Jesus. She doesn't wait till he gets to the house because she wants to see him. She's excited to see him. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Listen to this. Same Martha, the anxious one. Listen to this. The one who's the works is everything. I need to sort out everything for God. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. So something in her heart recognized that Jesus is a powerful person. Or not a powerful person, but God. Because she's saying, whatever you would ask will happen. It's not that if you were asking in Jesus' name for us, we know in the name of Jesus. He said, in the name of Jesus, be healed, and if that person is healed, we don't take the glory. It's Jesus that's healing. But Martha recognizing something and she's saying, God, whatever you will ask, I know God will give it to you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in him, though he dies, yet shall live. So something in Martha about the teaching that she listened to about Jesus, there is something, but not the hoping she did. Do you see she has a part of it? And don't worry, God, I know whatever you will ask, God will give to you, but not now. And the resurrection, when everyone rises up at the end, when Jesus is coming back, then we will see our brother. And then Jesus says to her, but I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me shall not perish, but have eternal life. Beautiful. Beautiful moment. Then Mary is at home now with the Jews, and we know during that time if someone passed away, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days already, the Bible says. But when someone passed away, in the Jewish customs you get the mourners and everyone who come and cry, you get people who are paid to cry, guys. Can you believe it? So the mourners were at home there already, they were crying, weeping, Lazarus, and Mary was there as well. She stayed behind when she heard that Jesus was there. She stayed at the home because there was people. But then Jesus asked Martha, hey, but where's Mary? And then Martha sent someone to go fetch Mary, and this is the response of Mary. Now when Mary came, so remember they're still outside of Bethany. They haven't come into the village yet. They're still outside. They all went to meet Jesus outside as he was coming into the village. They haven't gone to the tomb yet. Everyone is weeping at home in the village. But Jesus, Martha meets Jesus outside of the village. And when Mary came to where Jesus was, and saw him, what did she do? She fell at his feet and said to him, the same response that Martha had, Lord, if you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died. The same response that Martha had, but the posture was different. There was a posture difference between Mary going straight to Jesus' feet and saying, Lord, I submit to whatever you do. I'm not going to tell you what to do, like, God, I'm surrendering. But I'm just wanting to say that if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died, because I know you would have saved him. And then it goes on to beautifully. She was weeping. The scenario was there. And everyone else that was at the house came with her, the people, the weeping of Mary. When you look at what it says, and he was deeply moved, and Jesus was deeply saw her weeping, and the Jews coming to her. So I'm reading from verse 33, it's not on there, John 11 still. When he saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled, and he said to her, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. And Jesus wept. Jesus wept in that beautiful scenario that we always want to see weeping. But when you look at the background of it and you look at the scenario, it's so beautiful about the response of Mary moving Jesus with compassion. Lord, whatever you do, I surrender to you. But I know if you were here, my brother would have done. And we know from there, they walk into the town, to the tomb. Now, Martha is going with Jesus. Look at Martha's response and says, when Jesus says, and Jesus says, deeply moved again, came to the tomb, it's a cave, a stone lay against it. I'm reading from verse 39. And Jesus taken away the stone, Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time he will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. So meaning, Lord, it will stink. It's going to stink. Are you sure you want to open this thing? Jesus beautiful responding to her, saying, Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" A few minutes ago, Jesus just told her, "I'm the resurrection and the life." And doesn't that relate to some of us? And my conclusion today, before I go on to the last part about the story about Mary, and my conclusion today is that we are all Marthas. We all start off as a Martha. Am I right? We all start off as a Martha. We want to sort out our life, we want to sort out everything, we want to make sure the house is clean for everyone, we want to make sure that you don't step on anyone's feet, you want to make sure that everything is like in place. Every box is right, it should be. There's a little bit of a Martha in all of us. But we need to become Marys today. Our heart is that God wants us to become Marys today. That we surrender everything to Him. That we live out of a place of surrender. God, I surrender to you no matter the outcome. God, I surrender this to you no matter how chaos my house is looking. I surrender to you even though the person next door that is stepping into my house is dirty. God, I just surrender. There is nothing what they think. God, I'm not going to be anxious anymore for sorting out everything, keeping all the balls in the air, God. If one of them drops, God, it's like that, God. I can't do this. I'm not you, God. I just want to sit at your feet. But something in Mary just didn't stop there. When you go on to John 12, six days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who Jesus has raised from the dead. So see, like Bethany is like a place where he goes to, like, it's probably like our houses, like, you go back, you go out to work, and then you come back to your house. You go out, come back, and then so it's kind of like his safe space. So they gave him dinner. So they gave him a dinner for him there. So they like gave him a dinner. Martha served, and Lazarus was one reclining at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made of pure and anointed feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with that aroma. Again, Mary at the feet of Jesus, saying, "Jesus, I just want to be at your feet." Also, in that moment, I believe that something in the Holy Spirit did in Mary's heart that day. Because when you look at that, she was preparing him for burial by anointing his feet and the oil and stuff, because it's a few days where Jesus died on the cross, where he gave up himself for all of us, that we are able to sit here. But Martha is still serving here, guys. And it's not a bad thing. what is the foundation of your serving? Is your foundation that I need to serve to be approved? Is your foundation that I need to serve to be accepted? In church, yes, we serve, we have serving teams, and we do need help, because lighter work adds length. Many hands are lighter work. That's true. But serving from a place of sonship, knowing that who you are and who she belongs to is that because the both of God. For Mary it was knowing that Jesus is the one that she needs for everything. Jesus is the portion of life that she needed for her daily life, to be able to have a life that speaks about the life of Jesus in her. The portion that needs to fulfill her. Constantly is she Mary at the feet of Jesus. So which one did you identify with on the first slide? Which one are you currently finding yourself in? Are you the one that's currently balancing everything before you fall? Are you the one that's going to Jesus' feet and saying, God, I know you are who you say you are, and you are my portion, and my life needs you, and I need you, God, and I need to sit at your feet. So I'm going to call Sam up now, and he's going to go to the time of ministry. But this morning, it's a time between you and God, because God doesn't put us to shame, God doesn't do anything like that, but He calls us to a life of surrender this morning. Surrendering towards Him as the portion of life, as the portion of our needs and wants, everything we want to have and want to need. Whether it is in your work environment, whether it is in your household currently, whether it is just you as a person. Martha, servant, beautiful heart, but anxious. Mary, beautiful heart, but at the feet of Jesus. Choosing a good portion. Where are we finding ourselves today? Like I said, my conclusion is of this is that we are all in water. Then you become a Mary. Because you realize that what I'm doing is not giving life. What I'm doing is causing me to be anxious. What I'm doing is causing more stress than any relief. The way my life is currently is not giving me joy. The joy is not in there. The joy of the Lord is not my strength anymore. My joy has been stolen because of the anxiety that I have. Because I need to sort out everything. It needs to look good and it needs to look perfect. I'm preaching this morning to myself. So as a response, I'm going to raise my hand to God and say, God, I don't want to fall into this trap anymore. Because it is a trap. The enemy lures us into it and says, oh, look at you. There's a flaw that you have. There's a flaw. You can't sit at Jesus' feet. Mary wasn't the only woman that washed Jesus' feet. The prostitute at the Pharisee's house. She wept. A tear dropped on his feet and she felt such a shame. And she went down on the knees and took the hair and wiped his feet. Let's close our eyes this morning.
Alone, you bring light into soul. Every heart that is broken.
Let's stand and worship God together this morning. But in response to this morning, let's pour out our hearts, pour out our lives, pour out everything we ask in this morning. Bring in the anxieties in your heart, bring in the stuff that's keeping you awake at night, bring in that stuff that you want to sort out, bring in every single thing that is currently keeping you hindering from what is